How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week and are with us. And we left off last time here in verse number 48 of John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse number 48. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's gone from Samaria up into Galilee. He goes back to the region where he performed his first miracle in turning the water into wine. There's a nobleman, a wealthy man, a man of stature there in Capernaum, north of the Sea of Galilee. Here's Jesus. He hears that Jesus has come back into the region, and he goes down to beseech him that he would come and heal his son there at Capernaum. The Lord makes a statement in verse number 48, and he says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." The Lord speaking there about man always wants to see the show, always wants to see the hype, always wants to see the glamour and the glitz and the great ability. That's what man naturally is interested in. But he says here, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Believe what? Believe the simple word of God. The word of God, great as it is, as it comes to us in its power, in its greatness, in its simplicity, men, women, boys, and girls will not believe. They will not believe. We will not believe. And the Lord, in his humanity, if you will, has frustration with that, because that's what the Lord has always designed. His design has always been that we should hear him. Without every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we will not live, the scripture says. That's what the answer out of the scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ gave unto Satan in the time that he was tempted there in the desert. Verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." He's entreating the Lord here to come and help. Verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." So the Lord just simply stated, your son's alive. Go your way. He's going to live. He's going to live. I've healed him. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. There it is. Believing what the Lord says unto action. The man didn't say, or the scripture doesn't say that the man said, "Well, I'm going to wait here until I hear word that he's doing better." No, when the Lord spoke it, the man believed it. "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You know, in the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ said his message was repent and believe the gospel. Why is it that we don't believe that? Why is it that sinners won't believe the message of the Lord? This man believed the Lord, didn't he? Oh, I implore you that are in the hearing of my voice, believe the Lord. Believe his word. Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." So there were those that came from Capernaum on the way to where the man had come down to there into Galilee and besought the Lord on behalf of his son. Those servants come as the man's heading back home, and they meet him and they say, "Your son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. Verse 52, and they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, in his whole house. The Lord Jesus Christ had said that the boy would live, thy son liveth, in verse number 50. And then the next day, we're told the servants come and meet the master on the way. And he says, tell him your son liveth. And he says, when? And says, yesterday, about the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the man knew that it was at the same time that the Lord Jesus Christ said, thy son liveth. Go thy way, thy son liveth. He knew that it was at that same time. It says here, he believed. He believed yet more in the power. He believed when the Lord spoke it and left. But now it's confirmed, and he himself believed and his whole house. Simply trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did. Verse number 54, when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Faith. Faith not in self, not in our ability to keep anything, or faith in a promise or a payment or something that we would do, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that if he says it, it's so, and we can rest in it. Faith. That is wherein sinners are saved. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. Repent and believe the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Here in John chapter 5, verse number 1, the scripture says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first at the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So here the Lord, he goes to Jerusalem. And it says here that he went up to Jerusalem. The reason that this is that even though Galilee is north of Jerusalem, we would reference going up as being north and going down as south. But the Jews always thought of Jerusalem being on the hill, on the mountain there, the mountains that Jerusalem is built upon. And they always viewed going to Jerusalem as going up, whether you went up from the north, or up from the east, or up from the west, or up from the south. And so that's just a side note there about the Jews' reference to such. The Lord went to Jerusalem, and he went up the mount to the city. There's a pool there, the pool of Bethesda. It's got five porches. There's laying people here that are impotent. They can't walk. They can't see. They've got withered up arms and withered up legs. They've got physical problems that can be seen, that are known of all that look upon them, and they're waiting there for a certain time. A blessing that the Lord had provided, that God had provided there for his nation, was that an angel would come and trouble that water. And say, oh, Brother Jim, I don't believe that that's really so. I believe that that's just some tale that is told. No, I believe that it's so. I believe that this was a blessing of the Lord that he had provided for his nation there, and that it is so. There are those that want to quarrel with this passage of Scripture, saying that it's not in the original Scriptures. I believe that it is so. I believe that it's true. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it today in our King James Version of the Bible, the King James translation. And so this angel would go down, and the water would be troubled, and the first person that stepped in the water, got in the water, was made whole of whatever disease that they had. The reason I believe that this is true and that it is so is there's no rebuke of it in the Lord, in this account of what the Lord did here. But it is true. In verse number 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. He's had this infirmity a long time, hadn't he? 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, verse 6, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto them, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? It's a question. It's a question that he asked the man. The impotent man, verse 7, answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I've got no one to help me. I can't get in it by myself. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." I'm so slow in getting there when the water is troubled that somebody else gets down in there before I do. And I just can't get there. Wilt thou be made whole? I can't get there myself. I can't help myself. I've got nobody to help me. I can't make it to the water. I can't make it to the water in time. Verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And the scripture goes on to say in verse number 9, "And after a few days, the man was made whole." No, it doesn't say that, does it? If you're following wrong in the Bible, you know that it doesn't say that. The scripture says in verse 9, this is what it truly says, "And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." The healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ healed those that had infirmity, in every account in the scripture, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed, he healed. The man, it says here, was made whole. And I venture to say and believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ healed anybody, they were made whole their entire life of that malady or that disease, as it says here, that this man had. This disease this man had, he had it for 38 years. But when Jesus healed him, when at his command, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. When the Lord Jesus Christ heals, he heals wholly, he heals permanently, and I believe for the lifetime of this man, he had no problem with this malady. It was seen that the man had this infirmity, and it would be confirmed by those there at the pool and those in his family and those of his neighbors and friends that he had this malady. It would be seen. It would be known. It wouldn't be some esoteric thing that would be hard to picture or to where no one could see. But it would be something that would be obvious. And what did the Lord do? The Lord made him whole. That's the way the Lord heals. And the thing is, when he healed him permanently. That's the way the Lord saves. When he saves the sinner's soul, he saves them permanently. John 3:16 tells us so very simply and so very plainly, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What does everlasting mean? It means forever, does it not? That's what it does. If you were able to buy an everlasting battery for your car, your expectation would be is that you could use it the rest of your life, your children could use it the rest of their lives, and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that battery would last forever. Now, we know batteries don't last forever, but if someone sold an everlasting battery for a vehicle, the expectation would be that it would last forever. Well, that's the way salvation is. See, Jesus died once and then raised himself from the dead and lives forevermore. It's because of that that the Lord gives everlasting life. It's the only kind of life he knows. So salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting indeed. When the Lord saves the soul, there's no losing of the salvation of the soul for any reason whatsoever. Well, I see that our time has passed. Thank you for tuning in. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.